Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Deep Coughing Deep. I'm your host, Jeremy Lopez, and I want to talk to you today about keeping a watch over your tongue. You know, I remember back in the Word of Faith days, I grew up actually in the Word of Faith movement, then I went to the Kingdom movement and the Prophetic movement and the Apostolic movement, and been through so many movements, I think I don't even know half the time where I belong. But you know, back in the day in the Word of Faith movement, one of the things that I really learned a lot about, and I learned a lot of good things and learned a lot of bad things, and that was learning how to speak, learning how to talk. And it went overboard for a while when it deals with, you know, name it and claim it, you know, and everything you said had to be so extremely positive that if you dare slip up and said one, you know, word, let's say, for example, I'm laughing my head off, that your head would actually fall off, you know, and dumb things like that, because we realize basically that the way you speak is going to be the lifestyle that comes forth from your heart anyway. And so it's a lifestyle. It's not about slipping up once or slipping up twice and all of a sudden you said something funny and you said something that it sounded like, you know, it's not really reality, you know, like I'm going to die laughing. You're not going to die laughing. It's issues of the heart of a lifestyle that begins to proceed forth every day of your life, because basically what's in your heart, you're going to speak forth consistently. So we're not dealing with a one time or twice, you know, having fun, or saying something negative or, you know, whatever. It's about a lifestyle that's truly coming from your heart. Whatever's in your heart is what's going to be able to begin to birth forth. And so I want to read some scriptures from you today from Psalm 39. And these scriptures I want to read for you is basically things that are begin to speak to you and hopefully bring some life to you. And Psalms 39 verse 1 says, I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. What exactly does that mean? It means I'm going to watch my ways. In other words, I'm going to guide my life, keep an eye on it, to where I make sure in everything that I do is the way of the Lord. Everything that I do is along that path of the righteous that gets brighter and brighter. Everything that I do, I want to watch the steps in which I take and know the pattern in which I see, know the pattern in which I hear is always positive, it's uplifting, it's encouraging, and it's good. You know, one of the things we teach in our School of the Prophets course 101, by the way, and for those who are prophetic and want to know more about hearing the voice of God, you need to get that course. It's School of the Prophets course 101. But one of the things I teach in that course is understanding that when you're watching your ways and you're keeping an eye on the path of your life, you have to remember that even prophecy itself, the boundaries, if you want to call it that, of prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we're looking at even when God speaks to us and you are the one prophesying to someone else, even the receiver should be receiving the words of encouragement, exhortation, comfort, because of the fact those are the words God speaks to us. God speaks words of life to us. The words I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. So if you want to be like God, you're going to have to get into the way. Get in the way, which is the capital W. Get into the way shower, which was Christ, which shows us the identity of positive thinking, shows us the identity of who we are, which is understanding that we have to learn to think, speak, believe, walk out everything that is positive, uplifting, encouraging, exhorting, and things that bring comfort to people. So the scripture says in Psalm 39, I said, I will watch my ways. And it goes on to say, and keep my tongue from sin. Now think of it that way. Think of the aspect that knowing that, I'm reading from NIV by the way, knowing that my tongue can sin. How on earth can your tongue sin? Can your tongue actually lust? Can your tongue actually, you know, commit adultery? Can your tongue actually, you know, cause this or that to happen? Well, see, here's the situation. We look at these things and we're thinking, well, that's not possible. How would my tongue be able to do these crazy things? But yet the Bible makes it plain that you have to keep your tongue from sin. How would I do that, God? Easily, because your tongue has the power of life and death in it. Your tongue will begin to speak things that are destructive words. How many of you have had destructive words spoken against you? How many of you have had people who have actually cussed you out, said you're Jezebel when you're not? You know, because they misunderstood things that you did because of your boldness, or maybe they called you a heretic because basically you got a revelation from Scripture. You know, that's very popular in the body of Christ today. You know, you're just a heretic. You know, everybody that I know, including myself, are called heretics all the time. Why? Because of the fact you happen to stumble across a revelation, because the Bible does say those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. So you're going to be filled with a knowledge of the glory of God. You're going to be filled with the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom. kingdom, that those who are not hungry, those who are traditionalists, as I call them, people that are comfortable where they are in the Christian walk, will never receive because they're not hungry. So those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, God's going to fill them. And so therefore, when you're dealing with the power of sin in your tongue, we're dealing with the aspect of those who have spoken evil against you and towards you by simply saying things that they did not understand that you said, things that they didn't understand that you did, and things that maybe they misinterpreted. So what do? We're so quick. In the body of Christ today, if I could take a lot of the listeners from a lot of these Christian magazines that are authors that write in these, I won't even name the name of the Christian magazine, the Spirit-Filled Community, that is constantly bashing, and it's like they're recording things and of just horrible things against people and things they don't understand. And even for ourselves, how many times have we said things that are just mean-spirited and evil and ugly about people, you know, and calling them this and calling them that because we don't understand people. We don't know where they're coming from. What if we move in the power of grace and love and mercy and learn to agree to disagree? What if we let our tongue be the power of life and not the power of death? What if we let our tongue, which comes from the words that come out of our heart, really that's really the root of it, is where it starts, is in the heart. What if we allow our heart and our mouth begin to speak the same thing Jesus spoke, which are words of spirit and words of life? What if we cause our tongue to quit sinning and not always curse people, make fun of them, cut them down, and destroy them only because and merely because of things we don't understand about them, or either we feel, and here's where the body of Christ to me is in severe error, is when we feel we know what God likes, we know what God doesn't like, we know how God thinks. And here's the problem, folks, even if you want to back that up with some scripture, you don't even have a clue who God is, because of the fact we've got to remember His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we're dealing with a universal, powerful God who is beyond anything we're able to ask or think. And then because of that, who gives us the power and the right to say we know God? We know how God thinks. We know what God likes. And you know, I remember one lady told me a couple of years ago in a service, you know, she said, approach me about someone else that was in the congregation. And she said, oh, God is so grieved. God is so aggravated and so angry at her. And I said, well, why do you feel God would be grieved and angry with her? You know, she said, because of the fact, oh, you know, she did this and she's doing that. And I said, let me explain something to you. She's mentioning things that are not even quote unquote sinful, you know, what is on the top 10 of the sinful list that we consider sinful. And I said, why would you think that God would be grieved with her? Oh, I just feel that God is grieved with her. I said, you got to be very careful when you set yourself up to know God, in the way that you feel God is unpleased with her. You know, I've heard many people say that before. God is so unpleased with you. And I said, why would you think God is unpleased with this person? Oh, he just shared with me. And yet it's small little things. And so I tell people, I said, you've got to be very careful. When you speak from the heart of God, you've got to be careful, because you've got to remember, you're in the same process of learning from God. So to make a long story short with this message, make sure you understand the power of you are the son, he is God. You're the daughter, he is God. Never, ever, ever set your face before people to say, I know God. Like almost as if you're his best buddy and pal that you understand and you know everything about him. That's not true, folks. We will be learning all the rest of the days of our lives. And we've got to keep ourselves humble to remember and realize I am constantly learning. I know nothing, but yet I know everything. That's my phrase. Because I know absolutely nothing, but yet there's everything of God inside of me called Christ in me, the hope of glory, that knows everything. And I will constantly be learning every day. Do you know how many people I've found in my life who disagree with things that I said and in sermons, or disagree with other people that have said years ago, and today they're coming to me and they say, I am so sorry I told you you were in error, you were wrong. God revealed that truth to me and it set me free. And I want to, you know, and you know, the flesh wants about to say, told you so. But you know what we do? We find the place to say, you know what, I understand, I've been there. So whatever you do, folks, never be so quick to judge things. You have no clue. I've seen the hardest of the hardest of the hardest hearts who say that is such a, that's a blasphemous statement to make in that scripture or this or that, and they would take it to the grave. And 3 years later, guess what? They're believing the same thing, you know. And so you've got to be careful, folks, when you begin to harshly judge people, because the power of sin in the tongue can damage and hurt people. And I've learned to let let my tongue be that of love and laughter and grace and mercy. And even those who are in different parts of the world, I've learned to say, you know what, I love you. And it's better that I speak words of encouragement and love and uplift you and just demonstrate my belief in who I feel is the Son of God, which is Christ. I'd rather demonstrate that love of Christ. If anything's going to win you over or anything is going to bless you or encourage you about my own belief, it should be that my demonstration and my performance, so to say, of the presence of what I truly believe is exuding from me every single day of that power of grace and love. That's the only way. And so once again, keep your tongue from sin, folks. It's damaging. And if it's ever been done to you, you know the pain of that. Don't turn around to be the person who actually gives it out. Learn from what's been said to you and go on and do the opposite, is what I feel in my heart that we should do. Do the opposite of what people have done to you in a mean, despiteful, hateful way with their tongue. Now, it goes on to say, I will put a muzzle on my mouth. As long as the wicked are in my presence, I will put a muzzle on my mouth. Do you know what that means? Check this out. Imagine the power. If I could display this verse to the whole charismatic move, I would love it so much. Because listen what it just said. I'm in the presence of wicked people. I'm in the presence of wicked people. But yet, you know what? I will put a muzzle on my mouth. Praise God for that. You know what that shows me? That even those who are wicked among me, the Bible makes it plain that He will even cause my enemies to be made at peace with me. How is that possible? You know, because I got to bridle my tongue. I got to keep an eye on my tongue of what I say to people and make sure that my tongue is still uplifting, encouraging, and loving. You know, so many people are so quick to say, I bet God, you know, because, you know, it's only the people who I consider more the Pharisees and Sadducees because they know God. You know, so it's hard when I hear people say, oh man, I know God. I bet God wants to sort of judge them. I know God wants to just tell them, you know, how He really feels about them. And once again, I want to say, really, who died and made you God? You know, who gave you that authority to say something or to think something so mean and then do it in the name of God? When yet David in Psalm said something so amazingly powerful. He said, look, folks, I'm in the presence of wicked, but you know what? I don't want to cause my tongue to sin. I want to keep a muzzle on my mouth. In other words, I want to display the presence of a loving God. I want to show forth His grace, His mercy to people. I want to make sure I'm careful what I say to people that I perceive to be wicked, because bottom line is this, it's God's loving kindness that draws men to repentance. I want to be the words of Jesus, to be able to demonstrate those words, speak those words, and think those words, because thoughts to become things. And as long as I speak and I begin to think and know that God is a good God, what do you think is going to come out of me? The goodness of God is going to be what I'm going to demonstrate. The goodness of God is what I'm going to speak. If you know that God is good, you will display everything in your life from body, soul, and spirit, and mouth and mind, and you will do nothing but do and speak great things and good things. If you don't know, you know, that God is good, I look at some people in the body of Christ and they're like, oh, God is good, and they worship and praise God in church, and oh, how good God is. And I've watched them turn around and just, as we say here in the South, just dog people, you know, just really be mean and vicious towards people and judge them harshly and say, God is miserable. I mean, God is unhappy with you. God is vengeful toward this, you know, those in that lifestyle. God is hateful. You know, God can't stand these type of people, you know, and you know, or God is going to judge these people. And all of a sudden, you find yourself thinking, what kind of God that you really know? You know, when you know a God that is love, and you know that His name and His title and His essence is that of love, what do you think is going to come out of you? When you truly have that revelation of the love and the presence of God, you know what's going to come out of you is nothing but pure, unlimited, boundless, agape love of God. And that's really what God wants for us, is God wants us to move in that love, regardless who, no matter who's in front of you. You know, sometimes we even have to be careful to even our perception can deceive us. You know, I did a teaching a while back, and it dealt with the power of perception, because your perception is basically based on the definition of what you feel is, of what you've learned in your life. So a lot of times, for example, if my definition, if I grew up in a culture or a family that says, you know, God is mean, God is hateful, God is vengeful, God can't wait to get people. If I grow up in that mentality, then my perception is going to be God just wants you to straighten up or he's going to just strike you dead. I mean, that's now my definition of God. So if that was the case, if I was raised in that kind of family or culture, then when I see someone, my perception can lie to me. What I perceive can be that of based on my definition of what I've learned all my life. So my perception can be, ooh, you know what? Ooh, you've got a lot of evilness to you. God's going to get you good. You're just bad. God wants to judge that about you, because our perception can deceive us. And a lot of times in the charismatic move, we have to be very careful, because what we think we perceive from the Lord is basically built on nothing more than our definition of our peers and our parents and our teachers and those who have raised us in that type of culture or mindset, to believe that when we see these type of people or those type of people or people who do this or people who do that, it's going to automatically be connected or attached to the definition that we've learned. And so we have to be very careful when we come in the name of the Lord to say, oh, I perceive that God is showing me. You know, I'm really cautious with that when it deals with even our prophetic schooling. I let people understand you've got to get to the heart of the matter, the heart of God, and bypass everything that you are. And when you speak for the name of God, you've got to be very cautious. You will be held accountable for that, folks. And so I always tell people this. David made it plain, I'm in the midst of wicked people, but you know what? I'm going to be careful what I say. I don't want to speak harshly. I don't want to say things that are mean and ugly and vengeful, because you know what? I really don't know. All I know is that I feel, because of what I'm seeing or it's displayed before me, that I know is quote-unquote sin. I know that these people are just mean and wicked. Maybe I've seen these people murder, or I've seen these people just, you know, they've cheated, they've lied, they've stolen, they've committed adultery, whatever it is. But David still remains at that place. See, now I know why David had a heart after God. I really get it now, why David had a heart after God, because David wanted to make sure that he remained in the shadow of the Almighty, that he remained in the presence of God's voice. He remained in that heartbeat of God, and that heartbeat of God was nothing but pure love, pure agape. And so I believe David wanted to make sure, look, I know these people are wicked, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep a watch over my mouth. I don't want to cause my mouth to sin and say something I don't mean. See, this is if this message, folks, has got to be given out and just spoon-fed, so to say, to every one of us in the body of Christ. If we're going to be able to let God's light shine through us, we got to quit judging and quit being harsh and quit condemning. We've got to learn to start loving folks. We've got to start letting the love of God begin to seep through us and speak through us, because that's really what God wants. Is God wants a people without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, which means that means those are people who are full of His essence, not full of what we perceive God is. You know, I've heard people say before, well, God said He's going to judge the wicked. That's right. But you know what's amazing about that is that you're not God. What's amazing about that is you don't know. God's mind is so beyond any one of your mindsets. God's mind is so beyond your paradigms. God's mind is so beyond anything we've ever been taught on earth. You can never get, I don't care if you go to Harvard and turn around and go to Yale. I don't care if you have doctors after doctor's degree or and master's degrees, or it doesn't matter if you have them on top of one another. You can still never fathom, nor can you ever understand the power of the love of God and also the knowledge of God. God doesn't have knowledge. He is the knowledge. He knows everything. There's nothing. In fact, the word everything is not even a word that I would even come close to even comparing to a God who knows everything, because everything still wouldn't even sum up everything that He knows. Are you with me? And same with love. And so knowing that, you've got to remember, you can quote the scriptures of what you find, how God is going to judge, or God's mean, or God's wrath is going to do this. But here's what I would share with you. That's not your place. And if you dare come close to trying to be that vessel to speak for God when it deals with that type of harshness, you better be very careful. Because you know what? Let's reserve things to be God and not us. I know according to the New Testament. See, all I can go on is in the New Testament. The New Testament trains me and shows me how to be the disciple of Jesus. Are you with me? and how to be like God. And because Jesus was God in bodily form. So because of that, in order for me to be like God, I need to do what Jesus did. I need to go about doing what was done. That was what? Healing all those that were sick and oppressed the devil. He went about doing good. If you're not going about doing good, I'm going to tell you right now, you have missed the mark completely. If you're not doing good to people, if you're not loving people, how are they going to know they're my disciples? By the love you have one for another. If you don't love everyone around you and love your neighbor, if you don't display edification, exhortation, comfort, if you go outside of any of the goodness of those things, you are automatically not considered a disciple of God, because you're moving in the realm of God's judgment, wrath, whatever you want to call it, of what He knows what that means and represents. And when you try to define what judgment is, and you try to define what wrath is, and you try to define what all these things are, then guess what? You're moving in your puny brain of humanity, and you're trying to be like God, to say, let me help God judge these people, separate these people from this and that. And what happens is, that's a dangerous place to be, folks. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong on what the word wrath means? What if we have missed the mark to understand what judgment means? What if we've missed the mark of what we think any of these words mean? I don't want to take my chance on that, because I know that God is good, and His mercy endures forever. His judgment doesn't endure forever. His mercy does. So somewhere in the equation of our life, we've got to come to the place where we watch what we say to people, knowing that we truly do not know what these words mean. And so I always tell people this: reserve things to be just for God, because He is God ultimately. He is God. And knowing that He is God, let these things begin to be part of His honor to do, not yours. Okay? And so we're called and commanded to be the disciples, to share forth fruit, exhort, edify, comfort, love, give mercy, give grace, compassion, the Beatitudes, all this stuff. These are the things that we're called to do. And therefore, we begin to set ourselves at a place where God can bless us and not say, how dare you? You have no clue what that word means. And here you are being ugly to my children. You know, well, you know, Hindus deserve it. Do they? How do you know what people deserve? And, you know, that's why I'm saying we've got to be very careful, folks. We're so quick to judge the Muslims. We're so quick to judge the Buddhists. We're so quick to judge, you know, the gay people. We're so quick to judge black people. We're so quick to judge white people. We're so quick to judge women, because women should be silent in the church. How do you know? Do you see what I'm saying? And I know many of you women are listening to me. So here's what I've determined in my spirit. Be and do what Jesus told us to do, and you will be safe. And you're at a strength where God can say, good, you've done what I've asked you to do. Everything else you've reserved for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to do and be, because you don't know my thoughts, since they're higher than your thoughts. You don't know these words mean. So today, folks, let's be grace people. You know, I remember the message of the Hyper Grace movement. You know what I tell people? I say, call me Hyper Grace, praise God, because you know what? That's what I am. I'm Hyper Grace, and I'm Hyper Love, and I'm Hyper Mercy, and I'm Hyper God. And because of that, I will continue to stay in the boundaries that I know are safe for the body of Christ, and reserve God to be the God that He is. So today, thank you again for joining with our broadcast. We have so many thousands of listeners that I bless, and know always, I love you, each and every one of you. I bless you. I want to encourage you today, go to our website, identitynetwork.net. Listen to me very closely. On the website, we just put up a brand new two teaching set yesterday on the website, in the right-hand column, brand new as of last night. And one of them is called Quantum Glory. Come on, folks. Quantum Glory. 15 MP3s retailed for $150. $150 retail. On sale, are you ready for this? For $41. I think that's like almost like a 70% discount. You've got to get it today. Retailed for $150, on sale for like $41. 15 teachings, MP3 teachings by Joe McFadder, Sean Bowles, so many others. I'm talking 15 amazing people that are revelatory. We also have another one, you know, for you to consider, called Glory Explosion. That one is 15 MP3 teachings as well for, guess what? That's right, $41. Instead of $150, $41. Just go on identitynetwork.net, and it's not going to be up forever. Go on identitynetwork.net now. Trust me. I've got a time limit on some of these specials we're doing. doing. Go on identitynetwork.net, look under the right-hand side. It's the first and second one on the homepage. You better click on it and order it today. You'll instantly get all 15 teachings, or 30 if you get both sets, for just $80. And you'll get all those teachings sent to your email instantly, and you can download them and listen to them. These teachings are top-notch, cutting-edge, amazing, and the special won't last forever. Get them today, Quantum Glory and Glory Explosion. Order your copies of MP3s now, and you'll get them by the end of the day. You'll get them within 5 minutes after you've ordered them. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you again for tuning in to Deep Coffin and Deep, and remember today, go and create, go and manifest, and be the love of Jesus to everyone you come in contact with. God bless you.